varied fortunes of journalist Jan Bednář only began to unfold when he was kicked out of the School of Economics in Prague after signing the anti-communist Charter 77 and compelled to work as a night watchman for several years. The son of a dissident imprisoned for publishing Samizdat literature, the regime was glad to be rid of him when he applied to leave the country in the early 80s. He went to England and was able to complete his studies in politics, philosophy, and economics at Oxford University, from where he proceeded to join the Czechoslovak service of the BBC in 1985. Today he produces a foreign politics program for Czech Radio 6. And last week, Jan Bednář was awarded the Ferdinand Perotka Prize, the highest journalistic accolade in the Czech Republic. On the occasion of International Radio Day, we met with Mr. Bednář in the studio and asked him first to recall how he came to be involved in radio journalism in exile.
I didn't have any experience before that. I just contacted the head of the Czechoslovak service then, and I asked him whether I could do something for them, whether I could work there, basically. And being from Oxford University, he was pleased that I am interested, and so I came, and I learned journalism there, I think. All of what I know about journalism is from there. And so I started translating the news from English into Czech and broadcasting, editing. And most of the time in the BBC Czech service, we translated articles from the newspapers into Czech, and then we read it live on microphone in the studio. And we had similar kind of studio as you have here. And we had shifts. Sometimes I worked in the morning, sometimes in the evening. So that's where I learned about journalism, I think. And that was a few years, I think about 7 years I spent in the Czechoslovak service in Bushhaus in London. And then when the Velvet Revolution took place here, I was thrilled, and I wanted to go back. So after a few years, when it was possible, I just left the BBC and went back to Prague.
What was that community in the BBC Czechoslovak section like? I guess it consisted mostly of other Czech expatriates and Slovak expatriates.
Exactly, yes. They were exiles, they were expatriates, yes. It was a community of some older generation, I would say, people who left Czechoslovakia after 1948. That was the communist coup. And then there was another group of exiles from 1968. They were often former communists who became sort of reformed communists and or sort of Dubček style. And they left again after the Soviet invasion. And I was yet another generation. I was younger than these people. I was an exile from sort of after Charter 77, which was long after that.
Well, most of our listeners probably won't have ever heard the Czechoslovak broadcasts of the BBC, or you also worked with Voice of America after that.
I did, yes, a little bit, yes.
Looking back today, would you truly say that it was completely impartial, that it was an objective and independent source of information?
Well, I thought it was independent, definitely. And I mean, objective, it wasn't the propaganda.
Agenda. It had its agenda, though.
Sure. But look, first of all, you have to distinguish between, say, Radio Free Europe, Voice of America, and BBC. These are completely different companies and completely different sort of views and projects. If you talk about Radio Free Europe, that was a radio station financed by the American Congress, and it was supposed to be a Czech radio station with predominantly Czech agenda. Voice of America was a radio station which was supposed to explain American policy. That was the reason for to explain to the listeners American policies. It was sort of governmental tool, so to say. While BBC was a completely different thing. BBC, all these languages in the BBC, language sections, Well, they were established during the war. That's true. And they were, in a way, kind of, during the Second World War, they of course provided the news from London. Different news again. But they were not propaganda, certainly not. At least in those days when I was there, we didn't try to take sides. Although, of course, for instance, myself, you know, I sometimes thought that I can't be completely impartial, having this experience from Czechoslovakia, having been expelled from the university here, and, you know, after this, my dissident years. Most of my colleagues didn't have this background, so to say. So maybe they were more impartial than me. And I didn't want to be impartial on things like communism and so on. I myself didn't feel like that. But in the BBC, in a way, it was exceptional. I wasn't like most of the people there. They tried to be more impartial than me, I think, in this respect. Anyway, I want to mention another thing, which was important, of course, that all these foreign radio stations, in a way, they provided very important reflection of what was happening actually here, you know, especially in late 1980s, we started to contact people in Prague, and we telephoned from London to someone here, and we were able to record interviews with people here. So these radio stations, like including BBC, they provided some kind of information of, you know, internal events, not only what was happening in the world, but also what was happening here. So it was my experience, and I believe BBC was impartial, and, well, to a certain extent, of course, who is impartial? No, nobody is completely impartial, and I mean, you can balance, you always want to balance various views, or at least both sides, but in a way, you know, how can you balance fascism with, you know, I actually thought about this. We discussed these things when I was in the BBC, and I thought, well, how could I balance, should I have 5 minutes of Hitler and 5 minutes of Jews? How would I balance that, you know?
Well, this week you won the highest accolade that that a Czech journalist can win.
Seems like
in
that.
This country, and the prerequisites for it are, amongst other things, moral integrity, honesty,
and
responsibility for the impact of your work. You were one of only three people this year to win this award. I'm particularly interested in the latter criterion, more responsibility for the impact of your work over all these years that you've been involved in journalism. When have you had to face that situation?
Well, it's difficult for me to answer this. I mean, I wasn't in a situation that I had a comment for which I would be sacked from somewhere. But this is what is meant. Basically, it comes from the philosophy of this Ferdinand Perotka, who after whom the prize is named. Of course, it's a very esteemed person here. And he was a journalist who, by his real life, had to endure things which was a direct consequence of what he was doing. He spent all the Second World War in a concentration camp. So what is meant by this prerequisite is, I will tell you in another way. In this country, journalists are perhaps not as very much esteemed as this particular person, Ferdinand Perotka, because many people, I mean, there were many journalists who worked under the previous regimes, and they changed their sides when the government changed, so to say, you know. So what is meant by this prerequisite is that you are not changing your sides according to who is at the moment the political leadership.
Well, lastly, going back to radio, and I've kept you for much longer than I intended to, I apologize. But just going back to radio, what do you believe as a radio journalist yourself?
What do you believe is the future of radio journalism from today's perspective?
These will be only my impressions.
Of course. That's all we want.
So I believe in radio as a media. I don't believe it will fade out or something. It will stay, as newspapers will stay, although there is internet and although there is television. There are various kinds of media, of course. And radio, the number of people who listen to radio is reducing. That's the fact. But it will never be zero. It will not go down indefinitely. Because there are things like, you know, driving a car or cooking, when it's convenient for you to listen to something. And then it depends how interesting programs we make. So if we make interesting programs, people will listen to it. It's as easy as that.
Radio journalist Jan Bednar was Christian Falvey's guest on One on One this week, and I hope you enjoyed hearing about his work.